Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Coming up on Studios America, Glenn Beck joins me to preview his upcoming discussion with Governor Ron DeSantis. Nancy Pelosi pisses off her socialist friends and kind of embraces the free market, you know, at least in her own corrupt way. Now, here at Studios America, we do not condone vandalizing any annoying liberal property, of course. However, we do condone putting stickers on their backs like a kick me sign because we think it's hilarious. Wokeness is weakness stickers are now available. StuDoesMerch.com is the place to get them. Get 20% off everything, all the merch you can shovel into your online cart there. The code is STU20. And speaking of wokeness, the left is starting to get hit with the consequences of their own stupidity. Let's see how that's going for them. Mm-hmm. As we do, the progressive backlash.
Stu Does America.
You know, I don't see how there could possibly be a backlash against these fantastic progressive policies. Everything's going so well. What could possibly be the problem? Sure, we've got a little minor issue with inflation. And yeah, you know, there's some economic stuff going on that's kind of problematic. And sure, we can't really tell anymore if boys are girls, or girls are boys are boys, or girls are girls. We don't really have that one down anymore. And, you know, gender and race, they're not really solid concepts anymore. They're just this liquid fluctuating thing. And, you know, sure, the murder rates are up. And, okay, there's a few things going on right now. And maybe there could be a backlash, maybe a little bit. This is like we like to talk about this and talk about a pendulum. And we are on full-fledged pendulum watch right now. Pendulum watch! Because, you know, this seems to go back and forth, right? We've seen times in our past where maybe conservatives were in power for a while and there was a move to the left. And that always kind of swings back the other way. It does seem like it swings back farther and farther and farther and farther each time until eventually, I don't know, it just starts spinning around in bizarre directions. As Glenn always says, you don't want the pendulum to be swinging and then someone eventually just grabs it and stops it. That's not what you want. The pendulum does seem to be swinging back against these crazy progressive policies right now, and that's a really positive thing. There's a lot of things going wrong in the world right now, but as we've seen before, some of the biggest moments and eras in conservatism, where conservative principles have really exploded around the country, have been after liberals screw everything up. I mean, Jimmy Carter is the most obvious example. Things went so badly, with and around Jimmy Carter, that Ronald Reagan, a guy who was seen to be this extreme, crazy, constitution-loving nutcase just a few years earlier, all of a sudden won very easily and then won re-election in a landslide. There were times when Barack Obama was president, they were writing full stories and books about how the Republican Party was going to be a regional party from now on. They're never going to win a national election again. It's over. Demographics are going to take over and they're going to sweep Democrats into power for decades and decades and decades. We obviously saw that didn't last very long. In fact, zero presidents after Barack Obama was Donald Trump. Now we have a swing back to the left, as the left did very well in the elections in 2020. Very well is probably overstating it. But they picked up some seats in 2020 and in 2018. And they have control of the government. They won a couple Senate races in Georgia under very strange circumstances. So, okay, maybe they thought they had all this power. They certainly acted like they had all this power. Progressives really just dove in, you know, head first and said, we can't be defeated. We're going to look at all these crazy things we're going to go for. We're going to go for trillions of dollars in spending. And we're going to do all of these things that are, you know, fever dreams of the left previously. We're going to go for it. We're going to try it because we think we can get away with it. As I've said before, Joe Biden is going much, much farther than Barack Obama attempted to go when he had 60 votes in the Senate. Joe Biden's trying to go farther with only 50 votes. And that's a very difficult thing to do. And all of this craziness is combining into a soup that is making people kind of crinkle their brow and say, do I want to stand with these people? For example, one of the pieces of analysis that brought the left to the verge of excitement was this idea that demographics were going to push these sort of forces in ways that were impossible to slow down. You know, Hispanics are going to grow in as population of this country, and they vote Democrat. So eventually, we just got to wait it out. Eventually, Republicans will not be able to win any elections. Of course, this is going to shock a lot of people on the left. Hispanics have brains. You know, they can do kind of what they want to do. If they see you're doing a crappy job, if you're doing things they don't like, they're just going to change who they vote for. They're going to go the other way. A couple things that Hispanic voters don't seem to like very much. Number one, Latinx or Latinx or Latinx. However you want to say it, Latinx is my favorite because that's the way Joe Biden said it. Latinx voters don't like Latinx, the word, very much. Now, Latinx is not something that, you know, Hispanic voters have ever used. In fact, when they have the choice of what term they'd like to be called themselves, they typically pick Hispanic. A minority also picks Latina and Latino. Nobody picks Latinx. I think it's legitimately like 2%. Of the Hispanic population pick that. But yet white liberal coastal elites force it on them. And all these media outlets take it up because they want to make sure Hispanic voters know they're wrong about themselves. That's where we are. Another thing that Hispanic voters or Latinx voters seem to dislike quite a bit is unnecessary COVID restriction. Now, the Latinx community is known to be a very hardworking community, many of them blue collar. Many of those people were essential workers and needed to actually show up to work, unlike the white people typing Latinx on their blogs. And those people got to stay home. They got to be on their laptops, at home, outside, whatever they wanted to do. Well, a lot of Latino voters decided, you know, we need to go to work. We need to continue to work for a living. They didn't like all their businesses being shut down. When they own a small business, they didn't like it just being shuttered for a few months. They didn't think that was as funny as apparently a lot in the media did. So a new poll is out, and this is pretty amazing. Wall Street Journal poll found that Hispanic voters are now split between Republicans and Democrats on the generic ballot at 37%. Another 22% said they were undecided. That is a bonkers number. That's not supposed to happen and rarely does. Yes, Donald Trump moved Hispanic voters in his two terms a little bit toward him. This is a whole new step. Joe Biden is doing more for the Republican Party than almost any Republican president could ever do. So Latino voters are saying, nah, we don't really like that. Then another part of this is, you know, particularly people who live in cities, look at the crime problem and say, you know what we don't want is more of this. And how do we get more crime? Well, one way you get more crime is getting rid of the police. And Hispanic voters, along with a lot of other people, are saying, you know, the pendulum you were saying just a little while ago was to the point where you were saying defund the police. Well, we don't like that at all. In fact, the communities that were saying they did like to defund the police just a few months ago are now backing off of it. Minneapolis was kind of a famous one. Obviously, that's the George Floyd situation. And they have now taken this defund the police budget and turned it back into a fund the police budget because they thought to themselves, you know what we don't like? All of our citizens getting killed and robbed. Here's what they say. Though some city council members lamented the mayor's police spending, they made few efforts to do anything about it. That reluctance was a stark contrast to just last year when Minneapolis found itself at the forefront of a national movement calling on leaders to move money from police departments to other services in the months after Floyd's death. That urgency faded as crime surged and the defund police message became a political liability. Minneapolis has joined other cities in walking back police funding cuts. It's a progressive backlash. How about in Los Angeles? Los Angeles, you know, obviously big progressive stronghold. They have a famous shopping area known as The Grove, and they are having a lot of problems with smash and grab type robberies. Let me give you a picture of this area now. It's now surrounded by barbed wire. Now you might think, barbed wire, it's not aesthetically pleasing, but what it is doing is stopping people from smashing and grabbing and stealing thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of merchandise. And the problem is when you tell everybody, well, if you steal less than $900, we're not going to really do anything. We're going to give you a little misdemeanor. We might just let you go right away. People think, you know what I should do is steal $899. So now we have shopping centers in Los Angeles putting up barbed wire around the stores. We've seen in San Francisco where they've had to remove all of these Walgreens from San Francisco because they couldn't keep them open. I was, I was in a city recently, it was Nashville, and was in a Walgreens, and there are people walking around inside the Walgreens harassing you for money. Inside the Walgreens, not outside the Walgreens, but inside the Walgreens. And, you know, that's even better than when you had a situation where they're actually taking stuff and running out the front door with it. It's just awful. London Breed is the mayor of San Francisco, and she's contributed mightily to these problems, unfortunately. On July 31st, she said this in a press conference. This is a story about it. In the press conference Friday, the mayor said $120 million in funding will be redirected from law enforcement agencies to instead be spent on addressing disparities in the black community. And this has been a trendy thing to do. Don't punish people when they get caught for crimes. Don't treat drug offenses like they're really offenses. Just bring them in, let them go back on the street. Let people put up tents and go to the bathroom in the street and all of the terrible things that we know about San Francisco, many of them highlighted in the book San Francisco by Michael Schellenberger, who I think we might have on radio tomorrow. It's going to be a really good interview because Michael came out yesterday after London Breed made a statement and was, it seemed optimistic, a little bit of high praise from Michael, who literally wrote the book about how bad things are in San Francisco. I want to give you a little taste of the difference from just July 31st of this year to yesterday. This is the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed.
And it's time that the reign of criminals who are destroying our city, it is time for it to come to an end. And it comes to an end when we take the steps to be more aggressive with law enforcement, more aggressive with the changes in our policies, and less tolerant of all the bull that has destroyed our city. We are going to turn this around. This is a city that has a population of less than 1 million people with an over $12 billion budget. The residents of this city have been extremely generous in providing us with the resources we need to make a difference. And now, the priorities we need to make must be to protect them, must be to turn things around in their neighborhoods. When you are in a room full of people, I would say probably anywhere between 90 and 95% of folks could raise their hand and say that either their car has been broken into, or they've been a victim in some capacity or another. That is not okay. That is not acceptable.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. It's interesting. I've been watching The Wire lately, and that could be a speech right out of that series on HBO from Baltimore. So Michael Schellenberger, who wrote this book, has a bunch of recommendations, and it seems like they're at least giving lip service to trying the ideas he was talking about. And that could be something that's a huge move in the positive direction. We'll see how that goes. But the bottom line is you can't lie to people about this. You can't spin your way out of your car being stolen as a politician or in the media. You can't spin your way out of a relative of yours being beaten in the streets or being robbed. That just hits people too hard. You can't spin your way out of prices going up by 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% on goods that people buy every single week. You can't spin your way out of that. There's only so much power the media has, and this is hitting people hard. And they notice correctly that the reason these things are happening are because of progressive policy choices pitched by the media as having no downsides. Well, there are downsides here, big ones. Let me go to another area here. This is the Penn swimmer situation. And this is Leah Thomas. Now, Leah Thomas is the swimmer who was a man and now is apparently a woman. Outkick has been able to talk to some of the people on the women on the actual team. Here's a quote from him. One of them. They feel so discouraged because no matter how much work they put into it, they're going to lose. Usually they get behind the blocks and know they are that they all out trained their competitors and they're going to win and they're going to give it all they've got. Now they're having to go behind the blocks knowing no matter what, they do not have a chance to win. I think that's really getting to everyone. And if you haven't seen Leah Thomas yet talk, Let me just show you this female swimmer.
I first realized I was trans the summer before in 2018. There was a lot of uncertainty. I didn't know what I would be able to do, if I would be able to keep swimming. And so I decided to swim out the 2018-2019 year on the men's team as a man without coming out. And that caused a lot of distress to me. I was struggling, you know, my mental health was not very good.
Yeah, okay, look, that might be the nicest person in the world, I don't know. But clearly, when you're winning races by 38 seconds, this is not a fair competition. He was second team all Ivy League as a guy. And now he's racing against women and destroying them and destroying their college athletic career. And this is just so obviously insane that even people on the left and the middle are saying, wait a minute, this is nuts. The pendulum is swinging back the other side. And that's why when we talk about the progressive backlash, this is what we're talking about. The pendulum swings and it comes back and forth. That's normal. But sometimes you try to make it swing so far, it's going to come back and smack you in the face. Just remember, and this is really, really important, and I hope the left understands this because it's about to happen to them. Eventually, the pendulum swings back your way. So, are you feeling like you've hit a wall with your investment strategy? Maybe you've been burned by the stock market one too many times since the start of the pandemic. I have a friend who's like, I'm going to buy short on this market. And then it went up and then he switched around and went the other way and then it went down. It's almost impossible to time. But you can invest in a resilient alternative asset class that the elite have been quietly doing for a long, long time, really for centuries. I'm talking about blue chip works of art. Artwork that's outpaced the S&P from 1995 to 2020. And while it used to be inaccessible to you and I, that's no longer the case. Masterworks is the $1 billion startup, which is going after the exclusive art market, allowing you to add iconic paintings from masters like Picasso and Banksy and from every era at a fraction of the cost, of course. Right now, Masterworks is giving our audience here at Stu Does America priority access to their newest offerings. You can start by putting your money to work at masterworks.io/Stu. Masterworks.io/Stu. You got to see the important disclaimers at the Masterworks website, but know that this is about investing in exclusive elite art. Masterworks.io/Stu. I'm tremendously excited to have my next guest in studio. Glenn Beck joins me once again. His newest special airs tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after the show. He's here to tell you about it. And I believe he has extra special things planned tonight, including a guest it's a pretty big name. Glenn, congratulations on your special for tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Ron DeSantis is going to be on. Mm. And so if you haven't eaten yet, now might be a good time just to turn this off, get your family together, eat, do whatever you have to do, and then come back 9 p.m. Eastern.
And we are available on demand, so people could come back and watch the rest of the episode later.
But they don't. I mean, even if they do, they shouldn't. You know,
I mean, you're on the show. You're technically the executive producer of this show.
Technically is a good word. I mean, Facebook fact check would like that. They would like that. They would be like, technically, that's true.
But?
It's misleading. Okay. It's really misleading.
Well, I hope you put this much effort into your interview tonight, at least. You know, now, you've been spending the last few months calling him Rick DeSantis. Are you going to discuss that at all with him?
No, I don't think so.
No? Mm. You're gonna mention that you've continually called him the wrong name because you barely know who he is?
No, I've done my homework. I've got lots of questions for my guest. Well, can I just? I mean, what kind of questions do you have for me on that very impressive card? That
this one right here?
Yeah, yeah. What kind of questions do you have? Let's see the list of questions you have. For
me. You ever see court reporters? Shorthand.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that's just.
Okay, so it's DeSantis.
Mm-hmm. That was
had to write
one.
That one down.
Well, yeah.
I'm on for the special.
Oh, and criticizing me for not remembering his name? Is that what you're doing?
Is that what you're doing?
This, if you could do this too and write his Ron here, because I remember it's Ron.
Yeah.
But if you wrote Ron, you might remember his name tonight during the interview. That would be
that
an interesting
important.
Twist.
Do you remember when I was on Top 40 Radio and you first joined me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, I'd introduce the records as another super, super classic from that person.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
That was real. That really happened.
I'm kind of at that place in my political career to where Ron, Rick,
whatever.
Whatever.
Okay, so you do have him on tonight. This is not not a gag. You actually do have him on. And, you know, DeSantis is fascinating. We were talking about it a little bit on radio.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, this is a guy who's the underdog to become governor. He wins by 0.4% over a guy who winds up in some tryst in a motel with some crystal meth.
But other than that, Florida, you know how to pick him.
Yeah.
You know how to pick him.
But he wins that race and has now, in between 2018 and 2021, turned into arguably the leader of the right that isn't named Donald Trump.
I agree with that.
So this is
and in the same state where Donald Trump lives.
Mm.
And not sure how Rick DeSantis and Donald Trump get along. Do you?
I don't know. In fact, I don't even know who Rick DeSantis is. It's Ron DeSantis.
It's Ron DeSantis?
Yes.
I got to stop.
This is going to be bad, man.
Should somebody write that down for me and put it in front of me or something? So
it's
I don't
in
call
your head
him?
Now. I can
it
tell.
It is.
It's going to be Rick DeSantis for the rest of your
life. I'll call him Rick at least. We should do a drinking game. You'll be drunk by the end of the episode.
We've got a power hour coming up. I don't want to necessarily get you started down that road, but it would be funny.
Yeah, Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Once you kind of hit the Hall of Fame, you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah, so that is, what are you going to do after that?
Am I going to get into Hall of Fame two times?
Right, no it doesn't happen.
No.
Okay, so Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
He's the governor of Florida.
right.
So let me ask you this. Do you know, because you just interviewed Donald Trump as well.
Yeah.
Just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
What is the relationship between these two? Because, I mean, there's a
Don
competition.
Don was in a good mood. I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him about Ron, Rick, Ralph. I didn't ask
him. None.
None
of the DeSantis brothers.
I'm going to ask DeSantis. I'm going to call him that from here on out. Maybe that's why Bill O'Reilly calls me Beck. He doesn't know my first name.
Mm.
But I am going to ask Ron DeSantis about his relationship with Donald Trump.
Because there is a...
Because it would be good if they got along.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't throw each other under the bus. And whichever one wins, the other one could be, I'd like Donald Trump. If he's not going to be president, I'd like him as Speaker of the House. maybe DeSantis could be the vice president. And here's an idea.
It doesn't seem like
never
he's going
be
back to
thrown under the bus.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem like he's going back to Pence if he runs Donald Trump.
No, I don't think.
Does not seem
I don't.
That,
I didn't need to ask him about
you didn't
how
ask
he feels
him
about Pence, no.
Okay, so DeSantis...
Isn't that weird that Mike Pence is running and thinks he has a real chance?
First of all, obviously hasn't announced that, but he is included in polls and actually does seem to do pretty well in the polls. Like, if you take out Trump, it's usually Pence who's in lead if it's not
Name
DeSantis.
Name recognition,
right. As it gets down that road, you think that turns around.
Yeah.
Okay, so DeSantis... Potential nominee.
Mm-hmm.
The reporting is that most of these other candidates have said, if Donald Trump runs, I won't run. DeSantis reportedly has said that privately, but has not said it publicly. Do you think that this turns
then
into...
Then he's not running, so I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do the show today because I will just be talking to another governor and not a potential presidential candidate because Donald Trump is going to run.
You think so? You're where are you? You know, 0 to 100%. Where are you?
103.
Yeah, he's running.
Yeah, he's running.
I mean, it's his if he wants it. It would be very hard for anyone to turn that down, right?
You know, I learned something about him, though. He's not running because of his ego. He's not running because I'll show them. Mm-hmm. He's running because he feels responsible to his supporters.
Some of it's I'll show them.
Well, you don't. Yeah, don't get me wrong on that. Okay. Yeah, some of it is. But I really think the leading thing with him, at least now, is a sense of these people were right. Their country is under attack. My country is under attack. We both feel the same way, and I don't think there's anybody else that can do it, and I'm not leaving them behind. Hmm.
We do make too big of a deal out of presidential politics. I know you're joking when you say he's just another governor. I mean, he's done a lot of really good things. I mean, his record is really good. Do you see him as a standard bearer going forward? Do you think of is he the VP candidate?
I don't know. I'd rather have him. If Donald Trump is president, I'd rather have him still in the state of Florida. Mm. But we are going to need somebody. If Donald Trump runs, we're going to need somebody in 2028. Because obviously Donald Trump is one term, and one term is not going to be enough.
That's too far in the future. I don't want to think about it yet.
It'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, it goes fast. Tell me a little bit more about the Trump interview. This is one that's airing in January as part of your podcast. Nobody's seen it yet. We've seen a couple of clips of it. You guys seem to get along. You had dinner with him and Melania afterwards,
which
is a bizarre experience, though. I mean, was it really cool? Was it fun?
Yes, no, it's the whole thing is bizarre. Being there at Mar-a-Lago is bizarre because it's open to the public. Parts of it are open to the public, and so from time to time he'll just go downstairs to the back patio where we were and have dinner with just a bunch of people who were there.
From around town.
Yeah.
Members, obviously.
Yeah, members of the club. And, he'll walk through and be like, hey, Bill, how are you? It's just, it's weird that it's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Very strange. All right, let's look forward here. 2022. We hear that Build Back Better may be shelved until next year. Uh-huh. What are the most important things we need to look out for? What's the most important thing we need to be
Build
trying
Back Better.
To do? Well, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Build Back Better.
I think that bill is going to be shelved, maybe. I mean, that's what they're saying, but that has too many pieces to finish what they're started. If they don't pass those things, if they don't get those things in, they can't do their Green New Deal garbage.
Right.
And they're not going to let those things sit on a shelf. I think that's going to be unpacked and gutted and buried in a bunch of other little bills. And you'll pass something that'll be, for children without faces, we're going to get them noses. Oh, and this communist piece, this plank is hidden inside of that.
Yeah.
So the thing that we have to watch for is anger. In a positive way, the backing off of COVID. I think COVID might just fade away. Mm. You know, it'll always be with us, but I think people are starting to stand up, and I think it might just kind of come to a place. It's either going to get really bad, really, really bad, and the virus just becomes Ebola, or it's just going to go away, and everybody is just going to say, enough is enough.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a little bit, I think, on radio, but there was a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time, and she's from New York City, and I don't think she's a conservative or anything. We don't really talk politics, but her tone was very much like mocking the people who are walking around outside with masks still. Like, I think that's penetrated beyond the crazy conservatives and all of us evil people over here on the right that, care about individual rights. I think it's really to everybody now. I think people are really tired of it unless you're in those inner circles.
Well, think about
media.
This, too, that you have, it's really a badge. It's a label that you are putting on your own face. And when this goes back, because I really truly believe the left is on the wrong side of history, it's going to correct itself. It's only a matter of time. When you're remembered for that badge, you're going to look like an idiot, If it got to a place to where it was really trying to kill freedom, you're going to be looked at as somebody who was way on the wrong side. Mm. But I think the tide is turning.
Now, I know this is one of your favorite parts of the week, coming over here and doing the show on Wednesdays. It's a big part of your... a big part of your planning every week. You get prepared for it.
I'm missing time with my daughter right now, so hurry up.
If we were to advance, let's say, a year, and we're doing this interview a year from now,
God,
which I know we're
going
to be doing weekly until then, it's a Wednesday.
I'd throw myself from the highest point of this.
We're a few weeks after
four stories up.
We're a few weeks after the election. What does this country look like? What does the economy look like? What are the election results? Give me a preview of the future.
After the midterms?
Yep. The Republicans get the House, and they get the Senate.
So this time next year,
mm-hmm.
I think the economy is, I don't know, Stu. If they sober up, which they might be doing, it'll be... more of this. I don't know if they're going to sober up, though. If they keep going down this path and trying to destroy America, and America lets them, inflation's going to be really bad. We could be seeing the rumblings of war, if not war. I don't know about China and Russia. Those are two wild cards that might play, because they've got 3 years to play in that sandbox, and a lot of damage could be done. I think the Republicans do win. I think they sweep. And I think there might even be a birth of a new Republican Party.
Mm. Now, will you show up for this interview in a year?
No.
What's your prediction on that?
Not even.
Not even?
No.
What about... I mean, early, maybe January, we pick this back up.
You'll be gone by this I don't even know what that means.
Glenn Beck, executive producer of this program. So he has a vested interest in its success. He is also has his own show, I guess. Ron DeSantis is going to be on it, or Rick DeSantis, one of the two. Will be there 9 p.m. Eastern. The best way to watch, of course, your very own Blaze TV subscription.
I don't like the way you treat me on this show. I really don't.
You know, a lot of people write me and say, hey, I don't like the way Glenn treats you on your show. And I say,
I think
it's all in good fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
BlazeTV.com/Stu. The promo code is Stu. Subscribe. You get $10 off and you get great interviews like this every week. Glenn, thanks for doing the show. You did a great job today.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people are executive producers of shows and they don't do necessarily a great job, but maybe they do a great job starting a real estate company. Thank you.
Edit that out.
No, we don't make edits in the show. Okay. Well, Glenn Beck, the guy who just walked in front of the camera, started a company called realestateagentsitrust.com. Why did he do it? Well, he was complaining about people he worked with. So he's something he's very good at, and he's been thinking about it for a very long time. Realestateagentsitrust.com is the best place to go to get the real estate agent in your area that can make your real estate transaction go smoothly and get you the best price, get you the most for the money. Realestateagentsitrust.com is the place to go. Check it out now, despite Glenn. Realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. A judge in Texas has ruled the Texas abortion law unconstitutional, saying it violated the state's constitution because it allows private citizens to sue abortion providers. Now, look, I've talked to you a lot about this law as it's gone down. And as I mentioned many times, I am very much in favor of the results of this law if it leads to fewer abortions here in the state and anywhere else. I am a nonviolent pro-life extremist. That's kind of who I am. That's who you're getting on the show. That's my vibe on that particular issue. That being said, I don't think this is the right way to go about it. And I think we would probably not like the results of what happens if this law does go through, because we've already seen, Ron DeSantis is, and Glenn might talk to him about this tonight, has started kind of an effort to go down this road with CRT. We may very well like the results of that one. However, when Gavin Newsom is doing one on the Second Amendment, will that work? I don't know. Probably not. But some other liberal is going to do it on buying SUVs because it's bad for global warming or whatever. You need to have something that is that goes through law enforcement, in my view, to enforce laws. I don't think this is the right way to go about it. It's a novel legal approach, but I don't think it's going to wind up holding up. I think the real challenge is the Mississippi law, which we should hear about next year, whether it overturns Roe versus Wade, hopefully, once and for all. Nancy Pelosi has decided to overturn a rule with Congress. She has rejected a stock trading ban for members of Congress. She says, and this is just so authentic coming from her, we are a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that. And that's just so honest and truthful coming from her, because she's been such a warrior for the free market for so long. In fact, she is single-handedly fueled the ice cream market in this country by buying $9 pints of ice cream all over the country. So she's obviously in love with the free market. It's interesting how Democrats seem to find a love for the free market when it benefits them, when they can trade on insider knowledge. And that was actually the rule for a very long time until our friend Peter Schweizer basically got that overturned. She wants to still be able to profit off of what she knows, and she's going to try to make that happen. We'll see if any flack blows back on her for that one. And Elizabeth Warren, it's hard to say this because you feel like it's an almost impossible thing to quantify, but she may have produced the world's dumbest tweet. Think about how difficult that would be to do. And how would I even tell that it was the world's dumbest tweet? There's lots of really dumb tweets out there. How do I know that Elizabeth Warren has come up with the world's dumbest? Well, let me give you my case here. She tweeted, "Let's change the rigged tax code so that the person of the year will actually pay taxes and stop freeloading off of everyone else." That's what she wrote about Elon Musk. Musk responded, said, "Stop projecting," and linked to an opinion piece from that showed that Elizabeth Warren's Native American history was a fraud. And then he also added in just some insults. "You know, you remind me of when I was a kid at my friend's, angry mom would just randomly yell at everyone for no reason. Please don't call the manager on me, Senator Karen." But the most important part, and what shows that Elon Musk, and his tax situation is not the right thing for Elizabeth Warren to be tweeting about. He says, "If you opened your eyes for 2 seconds, you would realize I pay more taxes than any American in history this year. Don't spend it all in one place. Oh, wait, you did already." And that's why it's the dumbest, I think, the dumbest tweet of all time, because she's saying he's paying zero taxes and he's actually paying the most in history. You can't miss by more than that. We were just talking about Elon Musk, who's certainly a disruptor, who's changed so much about our country in such a short period of time. And disruptors are everywhere. Things like smartphones and streaming services. There are electric cars and SpaceX and all the solar stuff. And there's so much of this stuff coming down the road. And some of it's really amazing. Ladder is a really innovative company as well. If you haven't heard of them, they basically took on the entire life insurance industry and flipped it upside down, shook out all the inefficiencies and all the problems. Before Ladder, if you wanted to get life insurance, you had to drive across town and sit through the sales pitch and fill out a ton of paperwork and then wait like 6 or 8 weeks to find out if you've been approved or not. With Ladder, you can get fast, affordable term life insurance without even leaving home. It's 100% digital when you apply for $3 million or less in coverage. No doctors, no needles, no paperwork. If you're between the ages of 20 to 60 and you need coverage and want to team up with a company that's redeeming life insurance and changing that entire world, choose Ladder. Go to ladderlife.com/stew to see if you're instantly approved. LADDER Life. ladderlife.com/stew. It's ladderlife.com/stew. We've got a brand new Christmas song for you to enjoy this sort of socialist penetration that is happening in our country around the holidays. It's always something that we'd like to get together and love on a little bit. There's only one place you can get this song. If you go to my podcast page, whatever provider you have, just look at the most recent episodes, and you'll see one of them that says, "It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela." Full song. You can listen to it as much as you want. Subscribe, share it with whoever you want. Enjoy the holidays, our Christmas present to you in these socialist times.
It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela. Everywhere you go, from Maduro and Chavez to Ocasio-Cortez, Pelosi, Kamala, and Senile Joe. What? It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela. Soon we'll all be flogged. At dinner you'll need to bring your favorite seasoning for the roasted dog. Well, there's a mountain of debt and a criminal threat. It is such a socialist treat. A band of marauders have captured our daughters and amputated my feet. The reindeer have been murdered and the elves have all been beat. It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela. Oh, the kids have frowns. The tree is red and green. It is splattered with blood and spleen. And Santa Claus is not coming to town.
Oh, no.
It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela. Soon we'll lose our soul. But the thing that will make us cry is the painful way we die as our heads all roll. Oh, well, the temperature's higher from all of the fires, and rampant is the disease. There's some execution and much destitution, and I am covered by fleas. And have you ever noticed that the water smells like cheese? It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela. Begging for some food. But the thing that will make us flee is the worthless currency. Holy crap, we're screwed. It's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela. We're Venezuela, cause Biden failed ya.
We are only a couple days out. That's incredible. From Power Hour, the Christmas party, go to stewdoespowerhour.com. The Stu Does America Christmas Party Power Hour, one shot of beer per minute for an hour with our fantastic panel, Chad Prather, half-Asian lawyer Bill Richmond, Jason Buttrell, Sarah Gonzalez, my wife Lisa Page will be here, and I will be here as well, just making an idiot of myself. There's been a lot of trash talking going on, by the way, I've noticed, at StuDoesPowerHour.com. People kind of going back and forth at each other, saying who won the Power Hours. There's no way to win a Power Hour. That's not what happens exactly. But still, it's a lot of fun, and we make idiots of ourselves for your enjoyment and your entertainment as sort of a Christmas present to you. StuDoesPowerHour.com. There's great merch there if you want to get involved in that. And we encourage you, if you are home and safe and protected, to play along with us. We will see you tomorrow.